Let's read together Isaiah chapters 36 and 37. In these two chapters, we have the inspired historical record of Jerusalem's deliverance from the threat of Assyria because the people trusted in the Lord and not in their own strength. Let's begin by reading the first three verses of Isaiah chapter 36. Now it came to pass in the 14th year of King Hezekiah that Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the fortified cities of Judah and took them. Then the king of Assyria sent the Rabshakeh with a great army from Lachish to King Hezekiah at Jerusalem. And Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, who was over the household, Shebna the scribe, and Joah the son of Asaph, the recorder, came out to him. Let's begin our study of these two chapters of Isaiah, Isaiah chapters 36 and 37, with some background notes. The 14th year of King Hezekiah of Judah that we read about here in verse 1 of chapter 36 was 701 BC, the date of the well-known invasion of Judah by King Sennacherib of Assyria. The northern kingdom of Israel had already fallen to the Assyrians in 722 BC. And now Sennacherib and the Assyrian army was making their move on the southern kingdom of Judah. The end of verse 1 says that Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the fortified cities of Judah and took them. The Assyrian records found at Nineveh claim that Sennacherib took 46 cities of Judah during this campaign. The Rabshakeh of verse 2 is probably a military or political title for general or field commander. We see in verses 2 and 3 that he met with a trusted delegation from King Hezekiah to discuss terms of possible surrender. Let's move now to our doctrinal teaching points. Doctrinal point number 1, God may test his people with threats from the enemy. God may test his people with threats from the enemy. Verses 4 through 22. Then the Rabshakeh said to them, "Say now to Hezekiah, thus says the great king, the king of Assyria, what confidence is this in which you trust? Thus says the king, do not let Hezekiah deceive you, for he will not be able to deliver you. Who among all the gods of these lands have delivered their countries from my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem from my hand? But they held their peace and answered him not a word, for the king's commandment was, do not answer him." It is a remarkable testimony that we have here in verse 21 concerning the honor and respect the people showed to King Hezekiah. They kept silent and answered the Rabshakeh not a word, because the king's commandment was, do not answer him. Would we have been as submissive at a time like this? Now notice the several points of the Assyrian threat and how easy and logically safe it would have been, or so it seemed, to capitulate to this threat from the enemy. Number 1, Egypt is too weak to help you. Verses 4 through 6. Number 2, the Lord your God won't help you because Hezekiah has torn down his altars on the high places. Verse 7. The Rabshakeh did not realize that during Hezekiah's revival, it was right to tear down not only idolatrous altars, but also altars to the Lord on the high places. Because under the law, sacrifices to the Lord were only to take place at the temple in Jerusalem. Number 3, surrender and Sennacherib will give you 2,000 horses. Of course, you don't have enough men to ride on them. Verses 8 and 9. Note the sarcasm. Number 4, the Lord your God told me to come up and destroy your land. Verse 10. Number 5, we're telling you this in plain Hebrew so that everyone understands that they are doomed. Verses 11 and 12. Number 6, Hezekiah is deceiving you. Verses 13 through 17. And number 7, look at our record. No one has been able to defeat us Assyrians, verses 18 through 20. Quite an impressive threat and quite a test for God's people. And God allowed it. And God may allow impressive threats in our lives today from the enemy of our souls. But he uses these threats as a test of our faith. Under Hezekiah's good leadership, Israel passed this great test of faith and stood firm. What about us? God may test his people with threats from the enemy. Doctrinal point number two. God can deliver his people from the clutches of the enemy. God can deliver his people from the clutches of the enemy. Chapter 37. And so it was, when King Hezekiah heard it, that he tore his clothes, covered himself with sackcloth, and went into the house of the Lord. Then he sent Eliakim, who was over the household, Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priests, covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet. And Isaiah said to them, "Thus you shall say to your master, thus says the Lord, do not be afraid of the words which you have heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Surely I will send a spirit upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land." Then Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, saying, "O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim, you are God, you alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see, and hear all the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God. Truly, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste all the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire. For they were not gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they destroy them. Now therefore, O Lord our God, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord, you alone." We see in this chapter that King Hezekiah did the right thing in response to this prolonged threat from the Assyrians. First of all, he humbled himself before the Lord, verse 1. And then he sent to Isaiah the prophet for the counsel of the Lord, verses 2 through 7. And then after he received the letter from the Rabshakeh with the renewed threat, he spread the letter out before the Lord and prayed, verses 8 through 20. What a great pattern for us to follow when we are under threat from the enemy in any way. Spread the problem out before the Lord. In verses 21 through 29, the Lord sends Isaiah with the answer to Hezekiah's prayer. Let's read these verses. Then Isaiah, the son of Amos, sent to Hezekiah, saying, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, because you have prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, this is the word which the Lord has spoken concerning him. Whom have you reproached and blasphemed? Against whom have you raised your voice and lifted up your eyes on high? Against the Holy One of Israel. By your servants you have reproached the Lord, and said, by the multitude of my chariots I have come up to the height of the mountains, to the limits of Lebanon. Did you not hear long ago how I made it from ancient times, that I formed it? Now I have brought it to pass that you should be for crushing fortified cities into heaps of ruins. Therefore their inhabitants had little power. They were as the grass of the field and the green herb. But I know your dwelling place, your going out and your coming in, and your rage against me, because your rage against me and your tumult have come up to my ears. Therefore, I will put my hook in your nose and my bridle in your lips, and I will turn you back by the way which you came." Because Assyria had despised and mocked Jerusalem and the God of Israel, she would be stopped, verses 20 through 23. Assyria claimed her victories were by her own strength, verses 24 and 25. Little did she know that all of her success was under the sovereign will of God, verses 26 through 28. Because of her arrogance, Assyria would go back home empty-handed, verse 29. In verses 30 through 35, God gave Hezekiah and the faithful in Judah a sign. Jerusalem would not be taken. Not even an arrow would be shot into the city. And within 3 years, conditions would go back to normal with planting and harvesting. Let's read these verses, verses 30 through 35. This shall be a sign to you. You shall eat this year such as grows of itself, and the second year what springs from the same. Also in the third year, sow and reap, plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. And the remnant who have escaped of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go a remnant, and those who escape from Mount Zion. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor build a siege mount against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return. And he shall not come into this city, says the Lord, for I will defend this city to save it, for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. This all came true because of the great miracle that we read about in verses 36 and 37. Let's read these verses. Then the angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when people arose early in the morning, there were the corpses, all dead. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went away, returned home, and remained at Nineveh. This great miracle is not only recorded 3 times in the Bible, but it's also recorded in the Assyrian records on Sennacherib's prism discovered in Nineveh. God miraculously delivered Jerusalem out of the clutches of the enemy. Can God still do this today? Of course he can, no matter what kind of threat and trap Satan tries to set for us. Our response should be simply to trust the Lord as King Hezekiah did. God can deliver his people from the clutches of the enemy. Now, what about practical application? Wait and watch for enemy strategy to backfire. Wait and watch for enemy strategy to backfire. God loves to sovereignly allow enemy strategy to backfire. We see an example of this in the last verse of Isaiah chapter 37, verse 38. Now it came to pass as Sennacherib was worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his god, that his sons, Adramelech and Sharezer, struck him down with the sword, and they escaped into the land of Ararat. Then Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his place. Sennacherib had said that no god could deliver any of the nations and cities he conquered. How ironic that his own god couldn't deliver him. He was killed by his own sons while he was worshiping his god in the temple of his god. Enemy strategy backfired. We too can see the enemy's strategy backfire if we are willing to wait and watch. Illustration: how often evangelical churches and ministries get free advertisement as the liberal press tries to close them down. Other examples could be given. Wait and watch for enemy strategy to backfire.